Hi, everyone. If you found the last show to be a little bit underproduced, I promise I've made up for that today. But before we begin, I just have one announcement. The first School Sucks Project merchandise will be available this Thursday at Porkfest and on the website soon after. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and some pretty impressive outreach kits that Ofer and Marsige worked on. The t-shirts, courtesy of Jason Osborne, the show's sponsor, and the bumper stickers, because of the subscribers, the people who donate money to the show. So thank you to everyone who is involved, and if you want more information about this and you're not going to be at Porkfest, let me know, and I'll find a way to get you a shirt or a sticker. Thanks.
Well, turning to other school news, concern continues to grow over violence at Guam's overcrowded public schools. We are only 3 weeks into the new school year, but already a number of serious school fights have been reported. The Guam Police Department's been working to train the school personnel to deal with the outbreaks. Police spokesman Alan Guzman says special summer training sessions were held with school faculty and staff.
SWAT and the GPSS staff were invited to attend that training. And we did conduct several trainings that dealt with school tragedies or incidents that occurred at the schools.
Guzman says agents from the Juvenile Investigation Section have been tasked with patrolling the schools during specific hours.
Kids are not defective. Part 5. The incubator. The timeless question. What's wrong with today's kids? First, a quote from oceanographer Jacques Cousteau. Experiments performed in marine zoos may be interesting and instructive, so as long as we do not forget that the subjects used in these experiments have been conditioned and deformed, and that they bear little resemblance to dolphins living in the freedom of the seas. It is especially important to bear this in mind when dealing with the psychological aspects of beings as complex as marine animals. It is certain that the study of human psychology, if it were undertaken exclusively in prisons, would also lead to misinterpretations and absurd generalizations.
But this song was written a few months ago by a young man, about 23 years old, named Tom Paxton. We'll dedicate it not just to the children, but to the teachers in the audience. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that Washington never told a lie. I learned that soldiers seldom die. I learned that everybody's free. That's what the teacher said to me. That's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school.
Hi, everyone. So the show has a website, schoolsucksproject.com, and on that website we have a forum. And, you know, I originally thought that the forum would be a great place for people to throw out issues or problems that they're having while they were in school or whatever was left over in the aftermath of the school experience, anything else that anybody really wanted to talk about. I also hope that the forums would produce material that I could actually use in the show. And today I'm digging into a couple of the threads to read posts from contributors or listeners to help explore this topic in a little bit more detail. The last show was an exploration of the root causes of a lot of these negative social interactions that we see in school, but as I suggested at the very end of the show, the root causes are not the only problem. I asked a question, how many situations do you know of where people are forced to interact with each other and everything goes well? Did you think of any? This is the other major, major problem here, is that we take all of this baggage, for lack of a better word, from our childhood, from our experience as an elementary school student, into these final years of schooling where all of these really negative, vicious, and disrespectful interactions are so prevalent, middle school and high school. At this point in our lives, we have more life experience, we have more emotional maturity, but we still find ourselves in this terrible trap of school. And that's where we'll pick up today. So the first post I'm going to use actually comes from Mike, who was on the show, the Carrie Groove student debate show, a couple months ago. And this all exists in a forum entitled Show Topic Content Suggestions. In the thread, is bullying encouraged by the public school system? Now, Mike posted an article from schoolsurvival.net. This is entitled High School's New Girl Driven to Suicide by Teenage Cyberbullies. Nine Massachusetts teenagers were indicted Monday for driving a pretty 15-year-old new girl from Ireland to suicide in a case that has become a symbol of high school and online bullying. The sweeping changes, which come after months of complaints that the bullies weren't being punished, include statutory rape, violation of civil rights with bodily injury, criminal harassment, and stalking. Phoebe Prince, a new arrival at South Hadley High School from a tiny seaside hamlet in County Clare, was mercilessly tormented by a cadre of classmates later dubbed the Mean Girls by Massachusetts newspapers. The investigation revealed relentless activity directed towards Phoebe designed to humiliate her and make it impossible for her to remain at school, said District Attorney Elizabeth Scheibel. The bullying for her became intolerable. That's a quote. According to students, Phoebe was called Irish slut and whore on Twitter, Craigslist, Facebook, and Formspring. Her books were routinely knocked out of her hands, items flung at her, her face was scribbled out of photographs on the school walls, and threatening text messages were sent to her cell phone. Scheibel said she had drawn the ire of the Mean Girls by briefly dating a popular senior football player in her first weeks at school. On January 14th, Phoebe was harassed and threatened in the school library and in a hallway at school, Scheibel said. As she walked home, one of the Mean Girls drove by and threw a can of Red Bull at her. Phoebe walked into her house and hung herself in a stairwell. But the nastiness didn't even end there. Her tormentors actually posted snide comments on the dead girl's Facebook memorial page. For months, community anger simmered that no punishment had befallen Phoebe's bullies. Petitions were signed and the town hall meetings held. This is where I started to follow the story because I did want to see what the I wanted to see how the people at the school would be held accountable for this. I know that they were the parents in the town were particularly after the school superintendent for negligence in this matter, not responding to complaints while the bullying was going on. Continuing with the article, Scheibel said her investigators were taking the time to investigate thoroughly and slammed, quote, the inexplicable lack of cooperation from internet service providers, in particular Facebook and Craigslist. Seven of the nine charged Monday are girls, charged with a range of crimes from criminal harassment to stalking to civil rights violations. A juvenile was charged with assault by means of a dangerous weapon, namely the Red Bull can. The two males, 17 and 18, are charged with statutory rape. Unveiling the indictment Monday, Scheibel said numerous faculty members, staff members, and administrators at South Hadley High School were aware of the bullying. Some even witnessed physical abuse and did nothing. She said the investigators looked at whether the adults' failure to help Phoebe amounted to criminal behavior. Quote, in our opinion, it did not, she said. Nevertheless, the actions or inactions of some adults at the school are troublesome. And that's the end. So this girl hung herself after months of relentless bullying at school. Now, I'll come back to that because I do eventually want to discuss my follow-up, or the follow-ups that I did on this story in the past month. Because, like I said, this incident did become a major news story and sort of a landmark event or example of high school bullying. It raised a lot of questions in the media about why is this happening? What is it with today's kids where they're so vicious to each other? The timeless question, what's wrong with today's teenagers? Doesn't matter what time that is that we're talking about. Now, this question kind of suggests that people are trying to take this inquisitive and scientific approach to finding out why this is and solving the problem. But at the same time, kind of overlooking every completely obvious thing about the problem that is really important. And of course, don't all of these kind and concerned adults at the school and in the television media, don't they want to get to the root of the issue? Don't they want to find the culprit? Of course they do. Here's what they came up with. The internet.
According to a letter from Phoebe's high school principal, what began as mean-spirited comments at school soon found their way online. Something experts say, can be far more dangerous.
Cyberbullying can be so dangerous because it leads to cyber mobbing, where kids can get together and attack another child 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
This isn't the first time cyberbullying ended in death. In 2006, 13-year-old Megan Meyer killed herself after being harassed on MySpace by a neighbor's mother posing as a teenage boy. The anonymity of the internet, experts say, means that parents should be even more vigilant.
And as a parent, the concern has to be that we're monitoring and supervising, and we're really knowing what they're doing in the virtual world.
And don't they all want to make it look like they're doing something appropriate to follow up? Especially after something like Columbine? Of course they do. And in the last 10 years, here's what they've come up with.
Students, fire drills and earthquake drills are simply the norm. But today, in a sign of the times, students in Albany took part in a school shooting drill that, as you will see, was very intense. Andy Peterson joins us live in the newsroom to tell us about it. Andy?
David, today's active shooter simulation at West Albany High was mostly meant to train law enforcement for a school shooting situation. But student volunteers also got into the act, and for them, it was an eye-opener. This may be only a drill, but it's just about as real as it gets. In this situation, the bullets are replaced with paint, and the good guys always win.
I learned that policemen are my friends. I learned that justice never ends. I learned that murderers die for the crimes, even if we make a mistake sometime. And that's what I learned.
We're going to take a closer look tonight at school security. Today, the video from a security camera in Goose Creek, South Carolina, looked at first like a hostage situation. It turned out to be a drug sweep run by the local SWAT team. Guns out, students handcuffed who didn't respond fast enough.
Our government must be strong. It's always right and never wrong. Our leaders are the finest men, and we elect them again and again. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine?
It is certainly a reminder that in some places the new zero tolerance policy can be very harsh.
But zero tolerance and filling the school with cops and terrifying kids is not a comprehensive enough approach. You also have to start making use of all of that technology that terrifies you so much. Just got to make it work for you in the school.
Don Samplatsky of Royal Technologies is getting pretty good at putting up security cameras.
All right, I'm headed up. We've actually done probably a dozen schools.
The client this time is Colchester High School, where the district approved the installation of 23 surveillance cameras inside and outside the building.
You're pretty much going to view everything. It spins 360, so you're going to see everything through here.
For the school superintendent, the $56,000 price tag will be worth it.
Well, over the last several years, we've had a number of incidents that have occurred at the high school that have been alarming to us.
And while forcing kids to spend their entire day under the watchful eye of surveillance cameras may seem like intrusive and creepy and authoritarian police state kind of maneuver, they actually have proven pretty effective in catching violent offenders in the act.
One minute, a special needs student was walking down the hall in school. The next, he says he was thrown against the lockers, then to the ground by a police officer. What happened? You're about to see the video for yourself. To investigator Dave Savini has the story of a painful lesson.
Security cameras are about to capture the beating of this 15-year-old special education student by a police officer.
So he was shouting at you and he was swearing at you.
Yeah.
Marshawn Pitts says the officer started by verbally abusing him because his shirt wasn't tucked in.
I was tucking my shirt in.
But it's what happens next after the officer puts down his coffee that had Marshawn Pitts worried for his life.
It was just like, boom.
He says he was blindsided by the officer, thrown into lockers, and struck repeatedly.
Where did he hit you?
He hit me like right here, and boom.
Watch as he gets slammed to the ground, his face smashed into the floor.
It still has a bump.
Mm-hmm.
His nose was broken.
Were you bleeding? Did you know it was your face?
All this was like on the outside. My mouth was busted.
That's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school.
Now, the kind of people on TV or anywhere else in the media who ask these questions, they don't really care what the answer is. And much of this is just sort of open-ended invitation for crackdowns on the school level. And that's pretty much what the media does. It prepares you for the next authoritarian crackdown on a symptom, which is, you know, miles away from the root, the actual problem. So here, what they're cheerleading, basically, is kind of like a Patriot Act for kids. So these people, they don't visit SchoolSucksProject.com, they don't read our forums, but there's, you know, some pretty good answers in there on this whole issue, as far as I'm concerned. The thread was started by the forum's most prolific poster at this point, who goes by the name of Free Market Kev, and he wrote, "With the 11th anniversary of the Columbine Massacre coming up on Tuesday, I still question whether or not schools don't just turn a blind eye to bullying, but actually encourage that behavior. It seems that the bullies help the system by targeting kids that might look or act or think differently. If a student fights back, he or she gets in trouble too. In the real world, if somebody attacks you, there are legal measures that the person can take to get retribution and probably would work better in a voluntary society, but some kids go through the physical torment and verbal harassment on a daily basis. If you have a job with crummy coworkers, you have the option of leaving, but many kids don't have that option." A little bit further down, Aaron, who is a blogger on SchoolSucksProject.com, wrote, "I believe that bullying is generally a natural phenomenon to forced association. When individuals associate with other individuals, there will often be conflicts of interest. There are many ways to settle conflicts of interest, but the option of leaving and not associating makes it so people can live peacefully. In a forced environment, this is not possible, and what ends up happening is that the person with the most power gets their desires met in any conflict of interest. A good way to get power is through bullying. This makes it so people who might generally be peaceful might bully in order to self-protect. It is important to know that the bullies didn't choose to be in the environment either. This is why any nasty bullying story is the fault of parents and the state. At its root cause, absolutely, right? Because in the last episode, we discussed these childhood leftovers that are just stewing, And then they all get mixed together in this forced environment.
Another comment, and this is something that I was kind of hinting at with that Jacques Cousteau quote that I put in at the beginning of the show. In this whole scientific question of what's wrong, this scientific sounding question, or this question that sounds like people are actually concerned, what's wrong with today's kids? The other thing that people are completely overlooking is that it's not a natural problem with young people. Look at the way young people are treated.
The next post I want to share from this forum is from Ofer, the site's webmaster, responding to Aaron. I agree. It drives me nuts when people analyze the behavior of human beings in captivity, which school is the most common example of, and wonder why they act out and try to solve the symptom rather than recognize the simple truth that when you lock human beings up in large numbers in a small place against their will, they will not be well. Because people refuse to recognize the original use of force, the locking up of children, they have to keep trying to address the symptoms and not the cause. Indeed. At the beginning of the show, I played a clip from a high school in Guam where they're taking this similar kind of reactive up in the branches of the tree approach to making it look like they're trying to deal with this problem. Now, they're going to put more cops in the school. That's their answer. But even if you listened to the language they used as they were describing what they wanted to do, and I repeated that part, we're showing teachers how to deal with the outbreaks of violence. No need to look at the root cause. Now, that's important. Remember, like I said in the last show, schools cannot address root causes. Any coercive institution cannot look at the root causes of negative or destructive social interactions. Because if they did, they would get to the use of force. And if they tried to correct that, their organization collapses soon after. Hold that thought. And I just can't stress enough how significant this phenomenon of forced associations is. Like when I go into school, I don't see this in the fullest extent. I don't see the worst examples of bullying, but these negative social interactions are so apparent as soon as you walk into the school building. And I think it's very easy to say, well, these are kids and they don't know any better. And how are we going to control them better? Those kind of old arguments. How are we going to crack down? Completely overlooking the fact that all of these young people are taking part in a forced association. Like as an adult, I don't have any conflicts. Nobody bullies me. I don't bully anyone else because I choose all of my interactions and environments. From every aspect to my personal life, to the neighborhood I live in, for the most part, who I associate with in relation to my work. I mean, I have to talk to the occasional teacher or guidance counselor, so obviously my life isn't totally free of interpersonal conflict. But those are aspects of the job that I chose voluntarily that I accept. But I choose my interactions. Kids don't. And of course, like, I know I have a very smart young audience for this show, and this goes without saying, but I want to say it anyway. Being trapped, even temporarily, in a forced association is no reason to embrace that opportunity to mistreat people and say, hey, you know, it's not me, it's the environment. I'm a product of my environment. Because these environments are really sick, and you do not want to try and blend in. Why don't we quickly look at some of the places where bullying or these negative social interactions occur with the greatest frequency? School, prison, and the military. All are entirely forced.
right? Like, I understand the whole military is voluntary thing. Like, you go and sign a piece of paper, and then whatever happens to you after that, however much blood or guts or horrors you see, hey, man, you signed the paper. Check out Daniel Lachemacher's website, warsandmoral.com, if you want to learn more about that. But, you know, I remember I had a friend in high school who went into the military, and this is just like stripping the sense of human decency and empathy out of a person completely, where bullying is overtly encouraged. I remember this poor kid, they were made to do some pretty difficult physical tasks, and he was sick, and I guess in the middle of it, he just lost control of his bodily functions. So, of course, the commanding officer, look what the private did, kind of a thing, and he was shamed in front of everybody, and everybody was made to suffer for this unfortunate occurrence. So what happens that night in the middle of the night? They strapped him to his bed and beat him with socks full of soap. There's no empathy. There's no decency. If somebody's weak, attack. Attack. Oh, come on, Brett. That's just a few bad apples. It's not like that for everybody. Of course not. Of course that's not the message of the military, which is why so many soldiers just refuse to kill innocent people, right? There's the military for you. Prison, I don't really think I need to go into that. And school, well, we come to a point in our lives as teenagers where we could be learning to know ourselves better, where we could be reaching a greater level of emotional maturity. But instead, all of that childhood trauma is put in incubation in government school. That's why we see many of the things that we see there. Number one, the root causes from childhood. Number two, the forced association. There's nothing natural about what's going on. But there's something that's even worse here. You see, force ruins everything. Even if something seems like it's going to be pure delight, force will ruin it, I promise. If I say to you, hey, would you like to go to the movies, or would you like to go to Chuck E. Cheese, or would you like to play racquetball with me? All of those things sound like fun. But if I made you do those things for 35 hours a week, 5 days in a row, 7-hour clips each day, it's not fun anymore. How about the man or woman of your dreams offering to make love to you? Sounds good. 5 minutes into it, things seem like they're going pretty well. And then they stick a gun in your eye and say, you have to keep going for 7 hours, and then I'll let you go home. Well, this wonderful experience just became a very arduous task. Force will ruin the best of things. But school is bad to begin with. School is a production line slash warehouse designed for the scientific management of human beings. That is not the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese by any stretch of the imagination. It's far worse. While you're there, even if you're just kind of paying attention, you will absorb stories about a group of powerful but benevolent overseers who only want to help you, who only want the best for you. You will learn of their accomplishments. You will learn of their majesty. You will learn about how grateful you should be to live under their watchful eye and their considerate care. You'll even be fed the very confusing idea that these people and you are one and the same, that you are the government, that you have power to change the government, to make it what you want it to be, which is particularly frustrating
when you feel like it's preying upon you and taking advantage of you and threatening you and mistreating you. It's very confusing and frustrating, since you've been led to believe that all of this is your fault. You weren't vigilant enough. You could change this. But the schoolyard bully did help us prepare for this insulting illusion, didn't he? As this myth grows larger and larger and larger, year after year, it's only natural for you to feel as if, even though you are mistaken, as if you are shrinking and shrinking. Individuality sucked out of you and replaced with conformity. Curiosity sucked out of you and replaced with obedience and indifference. And that's if you're kind of paying attention. But if you start really paying attention, you will see something even more upsetting. You will become aware of the behaviors that adults are modeling for you. You will realize that the people who are supposedly responsible for educating you, the people who have been telling you since kindergarten, don't hurt other people, don't take their stuff, and tell the truth. A trio of very simple rules for social success. Those very same people are relying upon an organization that must break all three of those rules on a daily basis just to ensure its own survival. To make their livelihood possible. The result of these violations is catastrophic in school and everywhere else. If this organization went by any other name, this organization that has so much power over you as a child and so much control over your life as an adult, if this organization went by any other name, it would be considered organized crime. And a faction of this organization has been given the task of making young, impressionable, observant, and curious people good. And all of this organization's foot soldiers are busy asking each other, why are today's kids so bad? Why are some of them coercing and threatening and disrespecting each other? What's wrong with them? I, Brett Fanat, work with kids in the school very rarely. I work with kids in their home, at the library, in the park. And I've found just about every single one of them ever to be polite, considerate, respectful, and engaging. I believe that most kids are exactly this way. And considering what all of these kids are exposed to for 35 hours a week, well, that's a goddamn miracle. Before we end today, I want to jump back to South Hadley, Massachusetts, the town where that girl, Phoebe, took her own life. I told you that I had been doing a follow-up investigation of my own. I wanted to see what the consequences would be for the school officials, specifically the superintendent, who was being asked to resign by the parents who pay his salary. I searched his name, Gus Sayre, and I found this update, a 2-year contract extension.
Vote of confidence from the South Hadley School Committee for Superintendent Gus Sayer. He's been tapped to lead the district for two more years. 22 News reporter Anthony DiLorenzo sampled a mixed sentiment from the community about the controversial decision.
South Hadley Public Schools enter into a new chapter with Superintendent Gus Sayer.
I was just hoping there might be a little bit more of a change.
A sentiment echoed by many parents.
Step aside. You are completely embattled.
But he won the fight to keep his job. After a performance review, the school committee voted unanimously to keep Dr. Sayer for two more years.
Well, I'm pleased with that. Obviously, we've gone through a lot this year. It's been very trying and very, very challenging.
People that screw things up do get other chances, and they probably shouldn't because someone lost their life.
Sayer served quietly for 7 years in town, but has been the center of an angry chorus of outrage since the suicide of one of his students. Phoebe Prince hanged herself in January, reportedly because of bullying at the high school. The principal also came under fire after accusations that bullying was rampant and ignored. Gus Sayer tells me it's actually his decision whether or not to tap South Hadley High School principal Dan Smith to be back next year.
He's an outstanding principal.
So he'll be back.
Oh, he certainly will be.
And he wants to be back.
Yes, he does.
And for the teachers, the deal gets even sweeter thanks to their thug unions. In popular culture and super pro-union Hollywood, we're led to believe that the teachers in these schools are often these visionaries and heroic figures who are willing to put it all on the line to make a positive difference in the lives of kids. I can think of two movies off the top of my head. Stand and Deliver, the story of Jaime Escalante, who went into a inner city Los Angeles school and turned around a bunch of gangbangers and potential dropouts, and sparked up their interest in math. You might remember that was the film that launched the career of Lou Diamond Phillips. Another one that I can think of is Dangerous Minds, starring Michelle Pfeiffer, where she goes in, puts it all on the line, breaks all the rules, just like Escalante, to make a positive difference in the lives of those inner city kids. That movie, as you may remember, launched the career of Coolio. These films are moving and inspiring stories of courage and commitment. And in the case of Escalante, especially, pretty accurate. But what Hollywood is basically doing here is taking a magnifying glass and panning it across a rotting, maggot-infested carcass and stopping when they find something that still resembles somewhat healthy tissue, and only focusing right on that very small spot. And the sequels to these movies are never made. Escalante, who actually died relatively recently, and is somebody that I do believe deserves a tremendous amount of respect, was driven out. The union didn't want somebody who could raise the bar that high. And he was forced out. But just because this kind of organization would be antagonistic towards Escalante, that doesn't mean that they're not willing to go to bat for anybody. There are some people that they're very willing to help.
The rules make it almost impossible to fire even the worst teacher. I once confronted the union boss about that, and she said the rules are there to protect teachers' due process. A principal could fire a bad teacher, they just don't bother to go through the steps. So I went to look at the steps. Here they are. Look at this thing. Each box is a different step that they have to take to fire a teacher. So no wonder they don't even try to fire the teachers. This gets worse. It goes on. Here. So because this is just so impossible, sometimes they just transfer the worst teachers to other schools. They even have a name for that. They call it the Dance of the Lemons. Would be funny, except it could be your kid who has that teacher. My town couldn't even fire a teacher who sent sexual emails to his 16-year-old student that he called Cutie 101. Because firing a teacher is almost impossible, the school system puts teachers that they're scared to allow near the kids into storage rooms. They call them rubber rooms. Here's a teacher from one of them.
They're paying us $80,000 to $100,000 a year to sit around and do absolutely nothing but play games. Actual games. Dominoes, Uno, computer games. That's what we do all day.
Your tax dollars at work.
In conclusion, if we look at all of this hypocrisy, this do what I command, not what I do, right in front of your face, the first reaction for a student might be anger and frustration, specifically directed towards the teachers or administrators or resource officers or whatever authority figures you deal with in school. I encourage you to resist that. Instead of showing anger and contempt for these people, when you go back to school in September, I would think about trying this instead. Talk to people in your school about the principle of non-aggression. Talk to people in your school about the concept of self-ownership. Have empathy for your peers and have respect for yourself. Act in a way that is consistent with what you would expect or appreciate from others. Because, after all, the adults in and around your school would probably really benefit from having a few positive role models. Thanks.
Minute after minute, hour after hour, everybody's running, but half of them ain't looking what's going on in the kitchen. But I don't know what's cooking. They say I got to learn, but nobody's here to teach me. If they can't understand it, how can they reach me? I guess they can't, I guess they won't, I guess they front. That's why I know my life is out of luck, fool.